Good morning.
It's good to be in the Lord's house once again. And we do once again want to thank this church for hospitality that's shown to us. We've really enjoyed being here in this conference. Thank you, Brother Noel, for that wonderful message this morning. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, we see that our Lord has been exalted in all the messages that have been preached, that without Him we are nothing, and that's a fact. And I'm praying as we go through this message this morning that it's not just words. It's not me speaking, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and our lives as we go through this subject, being made free in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 32 through 36, please. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth to make you free. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Today there are many people who have not a clue about the bondage in which they are enslaved. And that's a fact. The world doesn't understand. You know, we look at them, they look at us, and they think we're crazy, and of course we know they are. We know that they have no clue about what's lying before them without Christ. Oh, they might have heard someone say that if you don't trust in the Lord, if you don't repent of your sins, you're going to go to hell. And they scoff at that, and they make fun of it, but they don't realize how much bondage that they're in. I used to be one of them. But by God's amazing grace, when I was 15 and a half years old, the Lord saved me by His grace. And I'm thankful for that fact, that He changed me, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. But they feel, the world feels, that they are free, that they are at liberty to do as they please, where they please, when they please. And the reality of fact is that they are indeed responsible to their Creator. They're responsible to their Creator. He may never be their Savior, but they are responsible to Him to obey Him. He's told this world to do some things. They rejected it. The Jewish people did, as well as the Gentiles, across the board. But they are, in their minds, free to do as they please. But the world today is deceived about his spiritual condition. And he is imprisoned by their father, the devil. And the fact is that they serve him freely and liberally without no thought. They don't know. They don't understand. They're blinded. They're sin blinded. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to turn there. Turn to John 1 with me, Romans 1, excuse me. Romans chapter 1, I want to read a couple of verses, starting with verse 16. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." It means just what it says, doesn't it? To everyone that believes. It's the power. This is the power of God. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now he goes on in verse 18 to 22. For the wrath of God, that was spoken of this morning, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You ask someone in the world today, are you ungodly? They won't have any idea what you're talking about. They're going to, of course, say no. You say to the majority, do you love God? Well, of course I love God. They think they love God. They know not the God that we know. They don't know Him. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Notice here, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are, notice here, without excuse. I drove through your gravestone over here, and it's interesting to see that area. I noticed that there's a lot of those properties up for sale. Must be because of the water level. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, some of them are trying to sell out. They're not satisfied. God has ways of manifesting Himself to people through the nature that happens in their neighborhoods. You say, what are you talking about? They thought they were buying a piece of glory there, and it's turned out to be a nightmare, maybe because of the water. I don't know what's going on. God has ways of showing people that He is in control. They're without excuse. They're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, into birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also, notice here, gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I'm not going to go any further with that. But we see that man is without excuse. That is my point. Man's responsible to his Creator. This morning, I pray that God will help us to see something about one being made free in Christ and what that means. In our text, the Jews said that they were never in bondage to any man. But that wasn't true. Not even at the very moment He said that. We can see that they had been in bondage for many years, and God said that it would be that way because of their unbelief and the rebellion. And they still are that way. John Gill made this statement. He said of the Jews, they were never in bondage to any man, they said, which is a very great falsehood. For it was declared to Abraham himself that his seed should serve in a land not theirs, and be afflicted for 400 years as they were. And as a preface to the law, which the Jews gloried in shows, which says that the Lord their God brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, they were frequently overcome by their neighbors, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, and reduced to servitude unto them, until delivered by one judge or another through the course of their lives. And not to take notice of their 70 years in captivity in Babylon. They were at this very time under the Roman yoke in our text and paid tribute to Caesar. And yet there was such pride in their hearts, they would not be thought of being under bondage. We're not under bondage. We've never been under bondage. What blindness they had. They were in bondage to the letter of the law as well as pride and unbelief. And though, so for introduction this morning, the Son of God is the only one who can truly make you free. If you are lost this morning without Christ, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are in bondage. You're not free. You're not free. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, you are in bondage. But He has made us free from the power of our enemies, those that are saved. They may kill this body, but they can never touch the soul. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now, a lost person can't say that. Can't say that. We can think of Stephen's case as well as all Christians who have died in Christ. They died and they went to be with the Lord. You look in Luke 16, you see the rich man, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment in those flames. And I always like to mention that he didn't ask for a glass of iced tea. He didn't ask for a Coca-Cola. He asked for someone to wet their finger in water to cool his tongue. For he's in torment in those flames. That would suffice for the moment. Christ has also made us free from the law of God, which will never condemn the Christian. Because you and I that are saved by His amazing grace have been forgiven eternally. We obey the law of God because we love Him. That's the reason why we listen to God's Word and say, "Yes, sir." When He says something, we say, "Yes, I will." This freedom never gives the Christian license to break the commandments of God. Never does. Liberty to sin? No. Liberty in Christ to live the way He lived is what we have. You and I who are saved have been made free from the fear of spending an eternity in hell. He also makes us free from the pride of life because we know and acknowledge that God is the giver of all things. Everything you possess, God has permitted you to have. So it's wonderful when one can have this freedom with boldness and say that he's saved and he knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Look at Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, reading verses 9 through 17. Romans 10, 9 through 17 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can I say that to anybody in this world? Yes. We are at liberty to preach the word We don't have to qualify the Word to tell them that they need to repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ. We don't have to qualify it. We can tell them the truth. Now, I'm not going to tell lost people that Jesus loves you. Because I don't know if Jesus loves them or not. But I can tell them that they need, they're responsible to repent and believe the gospel. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. That's freedom. That's freedom. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe that. The Bible tells me that, and I can preach it openly and liberally. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So God gives us courage and gives us boldness to express what He has done in our lives. And boy, I'm thankful He saved me. And if you are this morning thankful that He has saved you, you too can go forth freely and tell them what Jesus Christ has done for you. On this backboard back here, I see 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 missionaries, families and so forth, Brother Pugh, Brother Enity, the brethren in Thailand, and Frank James. Okay, I know all of those fellas, just about all of them, I think. And you know what they're doing? They're preaching the gospel to lost people. Why? Because one of God's churches has sent them out with authority to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. With what expectation? That souls will be saved. That souls will be saved. And so we too, with freedom and gladness, can tell others about what He has done for us and be thankful that we too were included in this so great salvation. In 1 Peter 4, in verse 16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be, what? Ashamed. You know, I'm afraid sometimes Christians, I wouldn't call it ashamed. I might call it afraid of the response you might get if you start talking to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. The Christian should have boldness. You and I both need boldness and pray for boldness that God would help us when we have that open door of testimony to tell somebody of what Jesus Christ has done for us. I'm thankful He saved me. I'm thankful I'm on my way to heaven. Are you ashamed of that? Am I ashamed of it? No, we're not. We go forth in this world of darkness and telling people. You know, I love Decatur. It took me a while, but I'm getting so I like Decatur, and I'm finding out something that's very interesting about the city. Can't find anybody that's lost. Do you know that Decatur has more churches per capita than any other city in the United States of America? More church buildings. From my house to our church building, there are, I believe it's 11 church buildings. Notice I said buildings. 11 church buildings on the way to church. And I've witnessed to a lot of people in the area, and everybody goes to church. When we closed on our house, there were 8 people sitting down there, and every one of them went to a different Baptist church. Now, does that stop me from talking to people about the Lord? No, can't do that. Why? Because He's called me into His ministry to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, we must do that. What is this freedom that Christ gave us? What it is not. That's what I don't know how to say that. But anyway, it's not some things. And here are 4 different things that freedom is not. First of all, we are not free from bodily suffering. And I'm sure most of us here, I would say the majority would say, amen. All of us have suffered somehow, some way, or in this moment, you're suffering as you sit where you are. And so, it was not God's plan that salvation would heal us from all of our pain. No. He said we are going to suffer in this life. There are a lot of evidence in Scripture which shows us that the Lord's people suffer affliction because they are called into this persuasion. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 25 says this. Moses chose rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, that was spiritually as well as physically, I believe. They had suffered pain, hunger, sickness, and even death for what they believed. These people in this list of the heroes of faith. All of them had suffered in some way or shape or form. And many of them died martyr's death. Look at the Apostle Paul and how he suffered there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just for a little, he was beaten. He was beaten. He had to work real hard. He had received 195 stripes. 195 stripes. He had been stoned. He had been shipwrecked. He had been robbed. He had all kinds of things happen to him as a Christian. As a Christian. And so, he suffered, and we too will suffer. The second one is that we are not free from divine chastisement. You and I will receive chastisement if we decide to live in sin. Because if you and I can live in open sin and not sense the chastening hand of God, the Bible's very clear, it's kind of rough, but it says you're a bastard and not a son. And so, when you and I sin, and we feel God's chastening hand upon us, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that chastening. And what do? We repent of that and get back in line with the Lord because we want to be in communion with Him. No, we don't never lose our salvation, but we lose the communion we have with Him. That lovely communion that we enjoy with our Lord. We're not free from the temptations which Satan places upon us. The Lord was tempted and did not fall, as we know. But you and I could be tempted and fall into sin. Because we're still in this old flesh, and this flesh is sinful. We do have these eyes. This mind works overtime. And sometimes those things which have happened in our lives in times past, the old computer goes into work and boom, something horrible comes to our minds when the least expected. When we're studying God's Word, when we're kneeling and praying, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes a picture of something or a thought of something, and oh, God, please help me. Forgive me, oh God. Please help me from those evil thoughts. Satan doesn't want us to meditate on God's Word. No, he doesn't. And so we are constantly in this battle. James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or many temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Oh, I think often of Brother Job and oh, how he was tried so horribly. How he suffered sitting in that ash heap scraping these wormy lesions that were all over his body from the crown of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was one horrible stinking mess.
That's right.
Can you imagine it? And in all this, he sinned not. He did not curse his God. But he said, "Naked came I into this world, and naked I'm going to be going." Oh God, give us the faith, strength. And then next we see that we're not free from the presence of sin as it is all around us. We know that. The fact that we must fight against the presence of sin in our lives. Those things which do tempt us, we must put the stop. So then, what is this freedom in Christ? It is to be made free from the curse of the law. In Galatians 3. In Galatians chapter 3, in verses 10 to 13. Galatians 3, 10 to 13 says, "As for as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no man," notice here, "that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Hear that? Shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed. Isn't that wonderful? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree." Paul said that the law was holy, that it was good, it was just. The law being a reflection of the divine character of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, the Christian is free from the condemnation of the law of God. Only the lost sinner will be under its condemnation. And aren't we thankful for that? We're free from the guilt of sin or the divine eternal punishment of it. If you are saved today, you're free from that. You're free from it. We ask God to forgive us when we sin, and away goes the guilt. The sin is forgotten. We trust God has done what He said He will do and that He is constantly forgiving us as we confess our sins. Romans 8:33-34 says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." Now you might try and justify yourself this morning and say that you're a pretty good gal, pretty good guy. Listen, if you're not saved, you're lost and on your way to hell. I know that's tough words, but that's the truth of the matter. What then can be done? Well, the Bible says you must repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. It does say that. It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We're free. God's people are free from the dominion of sin. Romans 6:6-14 speaks of this. Sin shall not have dominion over you. That's what the Bible says. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And so what happens if a person, you see a person living in open, contrite sin and rebellion against God? One of two things. He's backslidden, needs to repent of his sins, or he's lost. One of those two things. Or he's lost. Because it continues this, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We don't serve sin any longer. That is not our desire. We walk in newness of life. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus, free from the chains of enslavement to the God of this old world. We're not enslaved to Him any longer. We're free from the dominion of the power of darkness, of sin and Satan, as Colossians 1:13 and 14 says. I want to read that in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're free from the fear of man because we put the Lord first, and we know that He is going to take care of us no matter what happens in this world. We can look at Peter and we look at Stephen. We can look at what God did with them and used them. They preached the truth. They weren't afraid of people. Stephen stood up boldly and preached that wonderful last sermon of his, and they took stones and killed him. Stoned him to death because he stood for something. He stood for something and he told them where they were going wrong. We're free from the sting of death, which is wonderful. And it's not so bitter to die when you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like the brother says, I'm not saying I want to die. I'm not signing up for that right now. If you pull out a 45, I'm going to duck behind this pulpit. I don't want to die in this moment, but if God takes me home, so be it. So be it. I'm ready to go. We can understand that He is the only God who permits one to die. I know of cases people tried to commit suicide. Tried to commit suicide, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. God wasn't finished with them yet. God wasn't finished with them. And so we can understand that He is in control. He controls the life strings of every one of us. In 1 Corinthians 15:56 and 57 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm out of time. You're not the pastor. You can't say that. Now, if the pastor says it, I'm good to go. But there's responsibilities, real quickly. There's responsibilities for those who are free. Responsibilities. First of all, we must honor our Father, not bring dishonor to His holy name. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. That is a command. It's not a suggestion. We must be good servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for He is Lord of our lives. He is our Lord. We must worship and serve the Lord alone. No others. No others. It's our privilege, but at the same time, we are commanded to worship Him. It is our responsibility as God's children to serve Him with a loving desire. We are freed from the world to worship Christ. We are freed from the world to worship Christ and God. We're not chained to Satan and his devices any longer, but freed to serve the Lord and not this world. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 4:2 says, that he no longer should live the rest of his times in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. And then the next point is how He makes us free. And our brother pastor can tell you how He makes us free. Because my time is gone. May God bless you with these words. And I pray you've received a blessing from God's holy word.